Christmas miracle.
All right.
I'm talking about Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem is a city. It's a city of tragedy, a city of provision, and a city of hope. The first place we see it is when Rachel dies. We saw that. So throughout the history of Bethlehem, there's always this tomb of Rachel reminding them of the death of this patriarch's wife and the love story that was Jacob and Rachel and all of the history there. In fact, Rachel plays such a prominent role, as we read in the book of Jeremiah, that even when the king would come and redeem Israel, there would be one last gasp of Rachel's tragedy, of her crying out for her children, and then the Lord would comfort abundantly. Matthew, when he writes his gospel, he quotes that verse in Jeremiah 31, because right after Jesus is born, Bethlehem continues to be a place of tragedy. It's a place of tragedy because there Herod, being intimidated by Christ, worried that Christ would take something away from him, ordered that everyone under 2 would be killed. Every baby boy under 2 years old would be killed because of the threat Herod felt of Jesus. And so the city is a city of tragedy, is known by tragedy. In fact, one of the darkest times in Israel's history, under the judges, there was a civil war in Bethlehem. And almost the entire tribe of Benjamin was almost reduced to nothing. It is a place of tragedy. And the Bible chooses, out of all of this, God chooses to reveal himself in this city. The city of tragedy, the city of weakness, the city of darkness and death. Because it is there that he will show his power. And so what that means is, if God chooses to reveal himself in the midst of tragedy, then no matter what you're going through, no matter what you think about your struggles in life, God is prepared to reveal himself to you. God does not demand that you straighten up before you come to him. The invitation is to come to Jesus as you are, in your tragedy, in your sin, in your darkness. Bethlehem shows us that. God does not have a rosy picture of life. He has a real picture of life. That is why he chose Bethlehem to be the place to reveal his love and his son. And so no matter what your grief this evening, no matter what you struggle with, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you, to your heart tonight. And he is the person. Jesus is the place and provision for that darkness. See, the word Bethlehem actually literally means in Hebrew, the house, Beth, the house of bread. Lechem. Bethlehem, the house of bread. That there is provision in this city. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches throughout its history. The book of Ruth was about a widow named Naomi who had a daughter-in-law who was also widowed. Her son who'd passed away in a famine in Moab, and they go to the house of bread, they go to Bethlehem, and there Ruth is married to a man named Boaz, and God provides for her. God is a God of provision in the midst of a world of famine. And then when Israel was in that state of darkness in the history of Israel, after that civil war they had in Bethlehem, there was darkness of the enemies of Israel coming to take over them. And the king himself was being oppressive. And so the prophet Samuel went to this town of Bethlehem, and he anointed a king named David. And this king would be so popular in Israel that Bethlehem was known as the city of David. And so God provided for his people in the midst of the enemies that war against them, in the midst of famine, in the midst of death and grief, God provides. That is why it said that Joseph went to the town of Bethlehem, because he belonged to the house and the line of David, and he registered with Mary, and who was pledged to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. God provided the perfect time in the perfect place to show his love. God wants to give provision to you, to give you the bread of heaven in your hunger. Wherever you're hungry, wherever you feel the effects of living in a world gone wrong, God wants to provide food for your soul. He wants to give you nourishment in him. This is the goodness of the gospel. We don't need just things from God. We just need His Son. And His Son gives us all things. Because He died and rose again. He died and rose again, and with Him He provided victory over death for us. In the midst of the manger, when Mary is close to death. Now remember, when a Hebrew reads this, they think Bethlehem, son, born. They think of Rachel dying. And here, Mary lives. And so we have the life and death of Bethlehem, even here in this passage. Jesus was the boy who lived. Jesus is the one who will live even through the cross. He was crucified because He did not fit the pattern of this world. He endured it to the point of death, becoming a slave that we might have life, that we might have freedom. This is true food for our souls, brothers and sisters, because what God has done in Jesus is to fill our most basic need and our deepest desire. We know as we live in this world that we are hungry. We try to fill our lives with every type of thing to somehow quench the hunger of our hearts. But here's the problem. We were made for infinity. You were made for infinity. And there's nothing on this earth, nothing that was made physically on this earth that can satisfy your desires. Your heart is a hungry heart, a desirous heart. And the only thing that can satisfy it is God Himself who made you. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus will fill you. Jesus will quench your thirst and satisfy your hunger. And what does Jesus say? He says, taste and see that He is good. Because Bethlehem is also the place where Jesus was born, and it's a place of hope. When Micah is prophesying to the people of Israel, they are under battle. Their kings have not risen up. They are under the threat from Persia, from Babylon, from the Greeks. And each time they have a leader that rises up in the house of David, he gets struck down. And this repeatedly happens. But Micah says, one day there will come a leader from Bethlehem, from David's city, this small, insignificant city. And when I say small and insignificant city, there's less than 1,000 people in Bethlehem in most of the first century. Dr. Ken Bailey estimates that about 300 people are residents and citizens of Bethlehem. 300. That's like this neighborhood, right? It's a little more than what's in this room right now. That's the city of Bethlehem. It's a small and insignificant city, except for the one who came from Bethlehem, David, and then the one who was born at Bethlehem. And now, all over the world, when people want to make a new beginning in a place, they name it Bethlehem, like the Moravians did when they came to this country. They started anew in freedom, and they named their place that they started as their sort of hub in the Lehigh Valley. It's called Bethlehem, the new beginning, because Bethlehem says, though there's tragedy, though there's hunger, though there's sin and darkness, there is always hope. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if He died for your sin, then there is nothing that can stop His victory. He will make all things new. He will make you new. Not only will He quench your thirst and satisfy your hunger, He will make all things new. He will wipe every tear from your eye, and there will be no more crying or mourning or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. And Bethlehem is a foretaste of that, brothers and sisters. There is hope for you tonight. You are not so far gone. You are not so lost. You are not so dark that the light of Christ cannot come and find you. And so you must understand tonight that God has provided His food for eternal life in Jesus, for you to trust Him and believe in Him, that you would not just encounter Him in songs and encounter Him in the nativity scenes or in the songs or in the hymns, but that you would encounter Him in your hearts personally, that the Spirit of God would show you your deep hunger and thirst, your deep need, your deep sin, and the death that is at work in you, and then show you Jesus, to show you His love, that in the city of David, a Savior was born. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That is the sign. Because God, Jerry, can God still love me after all that I've been through and all that I've done? This is the sign to you. You will find a baby lying in a manger. He is Christ the Lord. Jay, I don't know. I've had a rough year this year. It has not been my best. I feel broken by life. I feel like I miss the people who aren't here, who are usually here at Christmas. And I want to tell you, the sign to you is the baby was born. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger because God has not forsaken this world. He has given us the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He has given it. And the sign is this Jesus. And the sign is to you today. Will you believe? Will your heart be satisfied in what God provides in the house of bread in Jesus? This is the sign you're looking for. Every answer is Jesus. This is what you need. This is what I need. This is what I need to be provided with. Because I am a person filled with tragedy, but I find provision in the bread of heaven in Jesus Christ. And I have hope that God is not done with me. That where my sin abounds, Christ would abound all the more. And the truth is, because of this baby, there is more grace in Jesus than there is sin in you. There's more love in him than there is sadness in you. Taste and see tonight that he is good. Taste and see that Jesus will fill you. Jesus will love you, and Jesus will forgive you. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts to see your provision, your grace, and what you've done in your Son. Lord, in the midst of our darkness, would you shine the light of your Son, that we would see that we need you. Father, give your mercy. Open up our hearts to realize that you are the one who speaks light into our darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.